Evening, everybody. We began the chapter, the first chapter that we have in Brachos, which discusses prayer, discussing the origins of prayer and how there are really two different traditions about this. One of them is that all of prayer is rooted in Sefer Bereishis, which we're reading right now, including this week's Parsha, Vayifka B'Makom, that Yaakov introduced Maariv, and before that, Yitzchak had introduced Mincha, and before that, Avram had introduced Shacharis in the various places in Sefer Bereishis. And the other tradition was that the Tfilos were rooted, they were founded in the Korbanos, so to speak, that we have a Korban that was offered every morning in the Beis HaMikdash, the Korban Tamid Shel Shachar, and a Korban that was offered every afternoon in the Beis HaMikdash, Korban Tamid Shel Bein HaArbayim, and that sort of formed the basis for Shacharis and for Mincha. And Maariv was a little harder to figure out because there was no Korban that was offered during the nighttime, but we have the idea that the Evarim, the limbs of the Korban Ola of the afternoon, would be burning over the course of the night, and also the fats that had been put on the Mizbeach from other Korbanos, so what we call Hector Chalavim Ve'Evarim. So that explained Maariv. It also explained why Maariv was treated a little bit differently, because it wasn't really rooted in a Korban as much as it was rooted in the elements of other Korbanos. So we said Maariv is in fact not obligatory in the same way, but Jewish custom has hallowed and sanctified Maariv, and now, for all practical purposes, it is considered obligatory. And then we discussed in that Mishnah the concept of the Tfilas HaMusafin, which was very clearly rooted in the world of the Karban Musaf. The Karban Musaf, literally the name means the additional Karban, was offered every single Shabbos. Two lambs were offered every Shabbos, was offered every Rosh Chodesh, it was offered on all of the holidays, on Pesach, on Shavuos, on Sukkot, on Rosh Hashanah, on Yom Kippur, it was offered the entire duration of the holiday. So that is the very notion of Karban Musaf. So we have an idea of Tfilah, Tfilas HaMusafin, every Shabbos and every Rosh Chodesh and every Yantif, which is on that basis. So you'll notice that there's something really interesting about that, which is that the Tfilas Musaf, if it's really rooted in the Karban Musaf was, by definition, a Karban HaTzibor. Now, of course, the Tamid Shel Shachar and Tamid Shel Bein HaArbayim were also communal Karbanos, but the Karban Musaf certainly was very much a Karban of the Tzibor. And therefore, it wouldn't be so much of a surprise to find a position that we'll read about in the Mishnah in just a second, that the Tfilah of Musaf was only really established in the context of a community. That might be one possible direction. Another direction, when we talk about Tfilah HaMusafin being only for the sake of the community, is that if you look at the text of the Tfilah HaMusafin, it deals with, of course, the offering of the day is described in detail, whatever it was. On Shabbos, we read about the two lambs. On Rosh Chodesh, let's say, we read about the cows and the rams and the sheep that were offered in the context of Rosh Chodesh, two cows and one ram and seven lambs and then a goat. So we always detail the specific korban that was brought. And then we recite a few lines about how we hope that the Beit HaMikdash will one day come back, you know, sometime soon. But there's no really personal element to the Tfilah of Musaf. It's all communal in nature. Even the request is communal, that we should be restored to the Jewish homeland, land of Israel, and that we should rebuild the Beit HaMikdash, etc. So all it really contains is praise of God, as opposed to request, personal request. And we do have a notion of Berov Am Hadras Melech, that, you know, if you're praising God, if you're involved in the Hadras Melech, if you're involved in Shevach, so then better to do so in a communal setting. And that indeed is cited by the Ritva as an explanation for why one might think that there is no personal obligation to daven Musaf. So with that, we'll have the final Mishnah in the fourth parak. Rabbi Lazar ben Azariah Omer, so is the view of one of the very prominent Tanaim, who himself became the Nasi, became the head of the Sanhedrin. So he said, Ein tfilas ha-musafin ela bechaver ir. It's a very hard term to translate, and we'll come back to it in just a moment, but that the Tfilas HaMusafin was only meant for the communal setting, so that an individual would never have an obligation to daven Musaf. It would only be in the context of the community, in context of a Tzibor. V'chachamim omrim, they disagree. They say, b'chavir v'shelo b'chavir. Whether or not there's a Tzibor, that every individual, it's what we call a chovas hayachid, is a personal obligation to daven Musaf. So Rabbi Yehuda Omer Mishmo, Rabbi Yehuda would say in the name of Rabbi Lazar ben Azariah, kind of a middle position. So he would say, kol makom sheyesh chaver ir, any place where there is a minion that meets with regularity, any place that there is a tzibor, So in that situation, there is no individual obligation. A yachid patur mitfilas hamusafin, the individual would not be obligated. But let's say you have Jewish people, they live in far-flung places, there isn't necessarily a minyan, so then they would have to step up and they would have an obligation to daven musaf. In other words, basically the obligation should really be an obligation on the tzibur, but assuming that there's no tzibur, it was the view of Rabbi Yehuda that an individual could actually fill in, and that an individual could discharge the obligation of Tfilas Musaf in light of the fact that there is no community to be able to recite this tefillah. That really, ideally, the obligation should really devolve on the community, but if the community is not in existence, again, you have somebody who's living in a place all by themselves or in a very small setting where they're not going to be able to get a minyan, so then those individuals would have to daven Musaf privately. So the term used for a tzibur, for a community here, is a very fascinating one, and that is the term chaver ir. So the Rambam was very intrigued by this. So the Rambam tries to explain why we would use the term chaver ir to describe a tzibur, to describe a minyan. So he says that their practice was, a chaver ir meant the great sage of the city, and that they would go and daven in the presence of this person. So it was like an idiom. It was a way of saying, well, where do you daven? You daven etzel hachacham. You daven etzel chaver ir, the leading person of that city. So that's the Rambam's very fascinating suggestion as to the etymology of this term. Now, historically, though, the term chaver wasn't only used in the context of a rabbi or the sage of the community, but those of you who are familiar, let's say, with the German minhag, a person could have the title chaver bestowed on them if they were a very leading and upstanding member of the community. And it was a very special title. I actually saw it conferred myself just once in my life in the context of a Germanic minhag, where they actually would give a person the title, and they would be called up to the Torah by this title, Hachaver, so-and-so. It's not done so much in these parts, but those of you who know German customs, it is certainly practiced, and it reflects a person of deep integrity, a person of great service to the community. So it seemed to me altogether fitting and highly appropriate that we should conclude this Mishnah in the fourth parak of Maseches Brachos, which is the classical chapter that deals with prayer in all of the Mishnah and all of the oral tradition, on the night which is beginning the day. This will be the last day of Kaddish for Rab Rosner. Rab Rosner was the chavir of this particular city. Rab was, I don't need to tell anybody in this room, somebody who not only served this community with total sincerity and with total integrity and with total selflessness, but he was somebody who everybody considered, in the literal sense of the term, a chaver, a really great friend. And his absence continues to be felt in many, many, many ways. And I don't mean to limit that by saying that his absence is particularly felt in the context of this minyan. That we, I think, have a particular appreciation of his absence. And they have it in many other places, and they have it at many other levels. But in the context of this minyan, we're talking about the chaver ir equaling the minyan, so this minyan is really not the same. And that's not to diminish any person that's here and any person that has risen to the occasion to strengthen the minyan in Rob's absence, which is certainly something that we all needed to do. But we all recognize that certain things and certain people are really irreplaceable. So it's been very significant for us as a minyan to have Lori with us over the course of these 11 months, and very meaningful for all of us to have Lori and the honor that she brought Rob over the course of this entire Kaddish period. And through Lori, you know, we have this halachic principle of ishto kegufo, that a person's spouse, in some sense, is really an extension of them. Lori, you obviously had many levels of intention, but one of the things that you succeeded in achieving, I don't think without even intending it, was that you made all of us feel Rob's presence here. Your being here for us was the next best thing. We've really cherished that on a daily basis. It means a lot to us to have you here and to have had you here. And I'll just conclude by noting, I don't want to delay the minyan too much, that we also, of course, begin by asking for rain tonight. B'tein talu matar libracha. We begin to say that this very night. We ask God for dew and for rain. Of course, this is meant especially with an eye towards the land of Israel, but really for the entire world. And I thought that this, too, was appropriate. But rain has many, of course, different levels of symbolism. One of the very important levels of symbolism that we have to rain in the Jewish worldview is that rain provides the possibility for renewal, and that when the ground is properly moistened by the rain, there is an opportunity for things to grow in very barren and very dark spaces. And so we obviously have the actual rain in mind, V'tein tal u'matar li'bracha, but we also have Lori and the entire Rosner family in mind as well, V'tein tal u'matar li'bracha, that God, in what has been obviously and understandably a very dark and bleak time, to bring Gishmei Bracha, to bring the rains of renewal to the family, and to make sure that the family is able to go forward, Lori able to appropriately move forward in a way that, of course, nobody would have wanted more than Rav. The Gishmei Bracha that bring along with them the possibility for renewal, that bring new life to the earth and bring new life and joy to people. And so V'tein tal u'matar li'bracha, may God in this final night of Kaddish, final entire 24-hour period of Kaddish, bring renewal to the family, bring a sense of revitalization to a family that sustained such a tragedy, a community that sustained such a tragedy, and to be able to move forward with all of Rob's values, with such wonderful memories of Rob, and to move forward exactly in the way that Rob would wish the entire family to move forward, to continue to celebrate joyous occasions together, all the while remembering his enormous contributions and his remarkable legacy. Tehi nishmato tzrura b'tzror hachayim.